Hi, I'm Michael Primrose, and this is the Property Finance Podcast. If you have an interest in growing your property portfolio, have experience in development, or you're just looking at starting out, then this could be the podcast for you. We talk all things property finance. We look at products, strategy, and more. So keep listening and check out some of our other episodes to make sure that you're up to date with all things property finance. Welcome to the Property Finance Podcast's first ever podcommentary episode. Join me as I follow the progress of Mark Stokes and Nigel Green's most recent development project in Rumfold, Suffolk. Taking a look into what really happens the day after drawdown, this series gives a unique insight into what goes on behind the scenes of building a development. So today I'm joined by Mark Stokes of Equa Group and Equa Academy, and of SaaS Alliance as well, a man with many feathers in his cap. So today we're basically, this is the start of day after drawdown. So this is a bit of a little documentary or a podcommentary, if you like, where we're going to be talking about what happens after the keys are picked up. Because on a lot of developments, a lot of training courses, things like that, they tend to get to drawdown and then you kind of don't hear anything about what happens next. And I think also from a broker's perspective, you never tend to hear what happens after drawdown because by that point, they've obviously been paid their fee and many times they don't hear about the deal again. So I thought it'd be interesting to get Mark on, talk about his development. And we're going to be following Mark and Nigel throughout the next 12 to 18 months over their development and doing regular interviews with them and basically catching up as to what's happened after drawdown. So Mark, welcome. It'd be great to just get a quick little bit about yourself and just a bit about the site as well.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. I really appreciate it. And first and foremost, I'm really excited about doing this because, as you say, it's lifting the bonnet on the part of the development that probably not many people see, you know, getting that fist pump, rah, 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 of getting it over the legal completion. That's just getting your development over the start line. And a lot of hard work got to that point, even more hard work beyond. So, yeah, really, thank you so much for your support to help Nigel and I get Rumfold over the start line. Rumfold's actually two developments in one. It's a 9 new build residential scheme. So we've got 5 two bed houses, 3 3 bed and a 4 bed as well. We've also got a new build commercial property as well, about 4,500 square feet, which is quite interesting. We're interacting quite heavily with our SaaS pension on that one. So it was a very interesting development that we secured from a developer who was going through planning. We then took over the scheme, got it through to legal completion with development finance.
Perfect. And I think in future episodes, obviously, we'll talk about kind of the structure that was put in place for that purchase and whatnot. But I think for today's little intro episode, I think it'd be really nice for people to hear kind of what happened, well, the day after drawdown. So kind of what was that first day? I mean, obviously, we were on site with you the day after drawdown, which was lovely. It was brilliant to be invited up and kind of see everything that was going on. And we got the drone up in the sky as well, which was lovely. And for those of you listening to this, no doubt you will have seen the case study that we've put out about this deal. And you'll have seen all the wonderful drone footage and CGIs and things like that. But yeah, Mark, it'd be great to hear just kind of what did happen the day after drawdown.
Yeah, well, literally the day of drawdown, got a phone call from the solicitor at 6 o'clock in the evening. So the solicitor said, right, we've now legally completed. Congratulations. So I was on the phone to you 2 minutes later to say thank you very much. And literally 20 minutes later, I picked up the keys from the vendor. The very next morning, I had a whole team waiting. We'd scheduled this team to be there. And there's a number of things that need to happen very quickly. I'm very much, I like to accelerate at the front end of a development, then we can repent at leisure later down the development. But it's very difficult to get half, three quarters of the way through a development and then start to accelerate and catch up. So you need to make use of every hour, every day for those first few weeks and months, because the information you're providing, you're going to be relying on for structural warranties, for a JCT contract, for all kinds of things. Your design team. So we, Nigel and I, my business partner Nigel Green and I, we've been joint venture partners for 23 or 24 years now. We've built between just over 4 million square feet of commercial real estate around the world between us. So we've been through a lot. We've not seen every scenario, and I think we need to keep grounded and humble. And that's why we surround ourselves with an absolutely impeccable professional team, including your good self, to make sure that we can navigate any of the choppy water that many developments might go through. So day one, who did we meet on site? Well, the first thing we wanted to happen was a R&D survey. So this is a refurbishment and demolition survey. This building is an old commercial site, just over an acre, and it's got some existing buildings which we need to demolish. We can't just demolish them. We need to understand the integrity of the buildings and if there's any nasties, asbestos and the like. So we had an R&D survey technician there who went in onto site with a little trowel and a drill and taking samples and things. So that was the first thing, an R&D survey. Now we use something called an EQA IDA, that's our development and analysis tool. You must make sure you've got costs allowance in your cost schedule for this. And as we know, Michael, we have a lot of interaction with the monitoring surveyor in the lead up to the legal completion. They'll be checking for all these things. So having a ready reckoner, a checklist here, which helps guide you through and prompts you on all these skills and cost base that you need to include is really important. So that's the R&D survey. We had our acoustic technician team there. So they put in their telemetry and recording devices. So we wanted to have a 72-hour uninterrupted recording of the site. We want to understand the ambient sound levels on the site so that if ever we've got any challenges on site that we've inhibited the enjoyment of the local area, we've always got a base reference point before anybody's started work. And it was also a condition of planning as well. So we're talking about planning conditions and ticking those off before we start. We did a full topographical survey, so a full level survey of the site. So literally on a 5-meter grid throughout the whole site, just looking at the peaks and troughs, the falls. You might need that from a flood prevention point of view. It might be because it's sloping site, grading, any cut and fill requirements which could affect your bill of quantities. We also included a full site measure of the existing buildings. Now that's really important. Michael, I remember you, Nigel, and I were having a discussion on a number of sites and looking at things like Section 106 and community infrastructure levy payments. They can be pretty big numbers. Get those wrong and you'll be reaching for the Gaviscon.
Definitely.
Really hurt your numbers. And what we wanted to do was to make sure that the SIL number, which is based on the existing and the new build square footage, we wanted to make an accurate record, our records. And so we did a full photographic record and measure to protect the SIL number. Oh, what else did we do? We did trial holes on site. So we had a machine later that day come and do trial holes. Three reasons actually. One, we wanted to check the ground contaminants. Secondly, we wanted to do trial holes. Those trial holes were to help for the foundation design. And third, when you're doing new builds, sometimes you might use soakaways and you have to do something called a percolation test. So you dig a hole, fill it full of water and come back and find out how long it took for the water to drain away, and you'll realise the height of the water table. And it's probably a tad more scientific than that, but that's pretty much the essence of it.
I say the chaps that were stood there doing it seemed to know what they were up to, so we kind of just left them to it and
come back later.
We'll see if it's all right or not.
Yeah, so that gives you an idea of some of the intensity of day one. All of that information is either a standing record that goes into our audit file, or it's going to be used as reliance information for further decision-making and ultimately for verifying the design, verifying the cost plan, the program, the contract with the main contractor, and ultimately, you know, the end design and the final product that we've spent so long taking, you know, a lot of care and attention to put together.
Well, and also the other key point as well is that all of this is a requirement to then enable you to not only get the first drawdown, but to actually enable you to get further drawdowns as well, which obviously is a huge, huge part of being able to push forward. But I think that from our perspective, we just wanted to make this episode a bit of a taster, just so that people get an understanding of actually a baseline, like you just said, it as well as getting an acoustic baseline. It's nice for us to get a baseline of what's happened at the start of this development. And as we move through, and these will be probably once a month, and we'll obviously do regular visits with the drone as well, just because I'd like an excuse to fly the drone, really. But from that point of view, we'll come in every month, see where things are up to. And I think today's been a good little taster for people to understand, actually, stuff does happen after drawdown. There is something still going on, and it isn't just this magical thing where drawdown happens and then 12 months later, a dozen houses have kind of popped up out of nowhere, and things do happen in between. But it's been a pleasure talking to you again today, Mark. And we'll be back with, obviously, you've name-dropped Nigel already, but we'll be back with Nigel on the next episode, talking again from Nigel's perspective, because obviously he is the famous creator of the Equa DA, a man who knows his way around a spreadsheet. So it'll be good to get from his side of things how things are going, because obviously I assume he'll be the one that'll be running many of the drawdowns. So it'll be interesting to understand from his perspective how those interactions with the lender has been with those drawdowns. And also as well, moving forward, we'll have Jake, the QS, coming onto the episodes as well to talk through from his perspective around the cost plans. We're also going to get Lendwell, who were the lender. They're going to come in and chat to us about obviously the lending side of things, and actually process, because again, something that nobody talks about is how do the lenders process the drawdowns? Because again, it's kind of this magical thing if you just go to a lender and say, I need £100,000 and it appears in your bank account. But actually what happens in those week to 10 days where they actually draw those funds down? So there's a huge amount of information going to be coming out during this series. But until the next time, thank you very much, Mark. Much appreciated. And hopefully everyone enjoyed that.
Thank you, Michael.
And that is a wrap.